or break my stride. Nobody gonna slow me down. Oh no, I got to keep on moving. Ain't nothing gonna break my stride. I'm running and I won't touch ground. Oh no, I got to keep on moving.
The Broncos are moving on from their old uniforms. Out with the old, in with the new. And we may have some clues on what to expect. Phil, do you think it's just general? It's time to change uniforms. You agree with that?
Yeah, let's spice things up. Everybody else is spicing things up, right? It's 2024. It's time to start something new. We got a new ownership. Sean Payton's here to clean house. So let's start something new. Let's have some sweet gear out there. Maybe I'll cop a couple jerseys. Maybe another helmet.
I saw you got a jersey set up in your basement now.
I did. Frame Bridge.
I saw that on Instagram.
Yeah.
And you can follow us on Instagram. You are at ICU Boy.
Yep. ICU Boy.
On IG. I'm at ZBuy23. Put the story up from my Avs game yesterday. Really cool, fun. Go check out Phil's.
Melly Mel was upset.
What do you mean?
Melvin commented.
Stop. You're lying.
Melvin commented, man.
Okay, hold on. Tell people who didn't see it what the picture is.
Yeah, so Framebridge pretty much gets jerseys together and frames them all. But not just jerseys, any kind of pictures you have. Really, really talented professional. They do a really good job.
Okay.
They're based off in Kentucky.
Okay.
But I have my new man cave, right?
Yeah.
And I'm trying to get all my jerseys that I've accumulated throughout the time in the NFL.
And these are not your jerseys.
No.
They're your teammates' jerseys.
All my teammates' jerseys. I actually got Marks is coming soon. Mark Ingram's is coming soon.
Oh,
David
nice.
Johnson's is coming soon. So trying to get as many as I can that I've played with or played against. It's just something that I've always wanted to do and collect.
Yeah.
By the way, Cam Newton still owes me a jersey, so if you guys know who Cam Newton is or know his number, give it to me.
Okay.
But does a great job.
He said he would get it to you. He said he would mail it, right?
Yeah, he said he would give it to me right after we played, you know?
The forgotten Cam. Oh, God.
But he has so much on his plate, beating up everybody. That he ain't got time for me.
Oh, God. Cam.
But it started off with Bradley Chubb. I had some of my jerseys on the ground, and Bradley was upset.
Because they're not hung up yet.
Yeah, not yet. You know, he was having fun with it. And Chubb was pretty much saying, hey, why is my jersey still on the ground?
Yeah.
You know, so I said, relax. I still got to hang them up. Well, Melvin commented, you know, under and saying, well, at least yours is on the ground. Mine is in the closet.
Yes.
So I was like, okay, Melly Mel.
Yes, Melly Mel.
And I was like, no, Mel, why? Because now you know it opens that Pandora box.
Yes.
And people started commenting and saying, well, maybe you fumbled it while you were trying to give it to him.
No.
Or you're right, it's in the trash can.
Course.
You know?
Of course.
I had to text Melly Mel and say, Mel, please, you want a Super Bowl? Now, he wasn't a Super Bowl MVP.
Jeez, Phil.
He wasn't a Super Bowl MVP, but you won one.
Dude, we are not putting Super Bowl champion next to Melvin Gordon. I'm sorry. I'm not. Can't do it.
Melly Mel's going to come in here one of these days. I'm going to have him on. And you're going to have to say Super Bowl champ.
I will
Melvin
not.
Gordon.
I will not. I still can't believe he took that picture with the cigar and the Lombardi. I swore he was trolling, but he... I don't know if he was or if he wasn't. I don't know.
My man was enjoying life. But Melly Mel's going to send me his jersey. Now, which one? I don't know. We'll see.
Okay. All right. I'm going to leave that alone. Let you guys bond. So you do believe it's time for the Broncos to get
new
uniforms?
Yeah, it's time.
I agree. Every single team in the NFL has changed their uniforms since the last time the Broncos did. And I understand the trust... I'm so sorry. I can't believe I still have these hiccups.
We might have to send Zach home.
Dude.
Somebody say if you scare somebody, you know, if I scare you, jump out and scare you, maybe the hiccups will go away, but I'm too good looking. You're not going to get scared.
You're not scary at all. I'll put you in a sleeper.
You're right. I should get that six-year-old man that beat you in one-on-one today.
We threw it out to the text line. Remedies for hiccups. There's a lot. I've tried one. It's time to try another during the break here. So sorry. But yeah, I agree. It's time for something new. It's time to turn the page. There's going to be a new quarterback in here. It's a relatively new coach. It's new ownership. It's just time. And Damani Leach. Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. Here's Damani Leach. I'll let him talk. This is Broncos president talk about new uniforms.
Yeah, I think part of the process that we went through was – talking about what's important to the Broncos, what's important to the Broncos fan base, wanting to evolve and be new and different, but also being respectful of our history and traditions, understanding our surroundings. I think from a geographic standpoint, there'll be nods to that. I think people will be really excited about it.
Okay, so people will be really excited about it, but it's not like it's not some sort of wholesale change here.
Yeah.
It's still going to be the same logo, from what we understand. Obviously, same colors. You would never want to change the colors, but...
They're not going to go baby blue, though. I've heard that. I don't think they're going to go baby blue. That's kind of what I'm hearing around, which okay. I think people are kind of upset about.
Okay, yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they're trying to throw a fast curveball on us.
Yeah, we were hoping that they'd kind of go with the more old school approach, with the D, with the orange and blue,
bring it back.
Baby blue. Some of those renderings are just incredible. But it doesn't sound like they're going in that direction. So they'll be different, but not just like massive change. There'll be some tweaks. I'm sure the swoosh down the leg is going to be gone. That was from yesteryear, and it's just time for a change. But and he said they'll mix in the geography of the area. Of course, my mind instantly goes to some sort of mountains.
Yeah, the mountains have to be on there.
Yeah. Okay, we'll see what it looks like, man. Let us know what your thought is about this, that they're changing it, but they're not changing the logo. Would you have liked to see them change the logo?
Back to the original D, I would have been okay with that, Zach.
Okay.
But other than that, changing the logo, I mean, it's a cool horse. It looks sweet. So I see why they could keep it. But truly, if they could go back to the original D, I would be down for that.
Kamaje Granderson behind the glass, thoughts on changing the uniforms, but kind of like maybe it's more of a tweak or tinker as opposed to wholesale change.
Yeah, I understand why they're trying to do it. I think instead of them going all in on changing right now, I think they're making small tweaks, seeing how the fan base is going to respond to it. And then I think it's going to open up the Pandora's box for a big foundational change down the road as far as how things look. Not only do I think it's going to happen down the road, I think it's going to marry the idea at that exact time that a stadium's on the way.
I knew you were going there. It's like, do you wait until you're legitimately changing everything?
Yeah.
Drew Spivak, quick thought on the uniform announcement today.
I hate it. I wish they were going back to the old D and the baby blue. Like, listen, the current logo, it's fine. It's cool. The navy blue and the orange, it's fine. It's cool. I just want to go back to the old school look. And I feel like the majority of the fans probably feel the same way.
Why do you think that is? Is this normal? I don't know if this is normal, like, league-wide, that almost everyone, it feels like 8 out of every 10 people just want it to go back to what it was 30 years
ago. Something different. I think it's just something different that sticks out, pops out, right? It's the orange, the baby blue, something that they haven't seen in a long time. And I think that they're willing to go back to that. What else are you going to change it to, Zach? Like, what kind of horse could you change it to? What kind of different structure would you change the jerseys to other than what you have it at right now?
Well, I mean, that's probably what they said in the late 90s, and they just totally change it. And they make it something totally different. What kind of different horse? I don't know. I don't know. That's for like artists and all those people to figure out. But I do just think it's interesting because I find myself doing the same thing. Like, I wanted to go back to what I grew up watching John Elway in up until his last 2 years or whatever it was. I think it was last two years.
Yeah.
But I don't know why. Was it just that awesome? And if it was, why did they change it in the first place? I don't know. I think it's just an interesting conversation.
Well, think about like all the throwbacks that we got this year from all these different teams and how cool they looked. You know, the Pat the Patriot logo from the Patriots with that cool, you know, Patriot guy snapping the football. The Eagles with the Kelly Green, the Seahawks.
Yeah, those are both sweet.
And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with the creamsicles. Like, the 90s uniforms were just cooler. They were just awesome. So that's why I wish they would have gone back to it. Even though I know there's like that superstition, oh, you know, they lost 3 Super Bowls in those uniforms. That stuff doesn't matter.
Oh, who cares? You went to the damn Super Bowl.
Yeah, let's go back to that. I'll lose 3 more. Yeah. At least we get to go to the Super Bowl.
Goodness. Okay. All right. Good conversation. We'll see what it actually looks like here in the coming days. And I would not be surprised if some of the stuff gets leaked, before you know it. Okay. Deion Sanders is laying down boundaries for his son's NFL career. A year in advance? Fair or foul? That's coming up next.
Aren't you something to admire?
Deion Sanders is laying down boundaries for his son's NFL career a year in advance? What do we make of that? And I do have a way too early question to ask as it relates to us in Denver that may not be relevant at all, but I do I want to ask it here in just a few minutes. First and foremost, Coach Prime sitting down with, do we know the name of that podcast, fellas? With Gilly the Kid, Gilly from Philly. Do you know?
Yeah, I know. Oh, Gilly.
Do you know the name of the podcast? Do we know the name of that? We'll get it in a second. But Coach Prime's on his book tour, right? Elevate and Dominate, 21 Ways to Win On and Off the Field, Phil.
You ain't got it, right?
I did not. not you. Well, man, you're gonna mess around and have me.
Look at you. So angry about a book. I've never met a man that did not like a book.
I'm not angry.
Shame on you.
About the book. I just think it's interesting and unique that it's a coach who's posing where he coaches and how to elevate and dominate when you literally finish dead last in your conference. I just think it's interesting. That's all.
Get it when it's hot.
And the podcast is called $1 Million Worth a Game. This was Deion talking about his son Shador and Travis Hunter.
Top four.
Excuse me. He was asked about where he thinks they'll be drafted next year.
Top four.
Whoa, that's pretty beautiful.
Anywhere from one through four. One of them is going to be one.
That's what I'm talking about.
One of them is going to be
speaking into existence.
And the latter one would not go behind four. Mm. Now, all this is subjective because I know where I want them to go.
Mm-hmm.
And let's not forget Shallow. Okay, mm-hmm. But I know where I want them to go. So there's certain cities that ain't gonna happen.
It's gonna okay, you want point?
It's gonna be a. It's not. A, I'm sorry. It's gonna be an Eli.
It's gonna be an Eli. Like we are not going where they tell us to go because that's where they think we're slotted. We're gonna go where we feel like is the best fit. He's talking about next spring.
Mm-hmm.
What do you make of Coach Prime here?
You know what, Zach? In today's game, the players have so much power on where they want to go. Look at it. Look at it this year. You have people like Caleb Williams not doing exams at the combine.
Yeah.
All right. The receiver, Marvin Harris Jr., not doing a pro day, not doing a combine. I don't even think he did physicals. Right? These players are in so command of what's going on in today's game that you could kind of pick and choose. Eli Manning got to do it with his father.
Yep.
So
John Elway
was another father. One. Yep. Right there. There you go. John Elway, another one. So I'm not surprised that Coach Prime would want to do it with his son, knowing that he's a quarterback, knowing that he wants to put his son in the best position to be successful on the field and also off the field, making that money. You know, Coach Prime's all about making that money off the field.
Sure.
So I'm not surprised with Coach Prime doing this for his son and even someone like Travis Hunter because it is like his son. What's your take on it?
I really like the thought of like Nat and today's player, and this makes people uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It makes people uncomfortable because it's not traditional. And it's using your leverage when you haven't played a down of football. And I know that rubs people the wrong way. One, you got a whole football season to play. Like, you got to go out and play well. I've seen these mock drafts. Look, the draft is going to happen next month. About 24 hours after the draft, we're going to get articles that are like, way too early mock draft. And I've been told Spencer Rattler is going to be the number one pick in the draft. I've been told Sam Howell, a year in advance, is going to be the number one pick. So, but I understand, like, being so proud and, you know, bullish on your kids. And I'm just getting a small learning lesson here with my own kids. And I have to be careful, like, not taking my phone out too much and showing you guys around here, like, hey, look what my son did. You know what I mean? It's like you just, I could do that all day.
Yeah, you're proud of your son. I mean, you're proud of what, what you helped create.
Yes. So I get that. I don't want to knock Deion for that. For all the stuff I will knock Deion for, I don't want to knock him for that. Where my head goes, though, is player empowerment era. Are we just on the first wave of this? And not that it's the first wave because we saw Elway do it, we saw Eli do it, but will we see it more regularly of players just like, no, I don't want to play for you.
Seeing it now.
I'll go back to school. I'll make a couple million bucks.
Yes, we're seeing it now. They're making millions of dollars in college.
Yeah.
All right. Caleb Williams, at one point, it was sounding like he didn't want to go to the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, right.
He was going to force his hand.
Yep.
All right. You had John Elway already force his hand. Eli Manning forced their hand. So it's out there, right? You have pioneers that have already done it for you, so it can be done.
And what does Elway and Eli both have in common? It was a forceful father.
Yes.
Who was behind the scenes like, no, we got this. And so when, I think it's Jack Elway, John's dad, says, we're not playing for that owner, period.
Mm.
You know, maybe that's something that an 18-year-old wouldn't say, or a 21-year-old wouldn't say. When Archie Manning's like, we're not playing for the Chargers. We're not. You know, get us to New York. Dion is that type of voice that knows the game, knows the angles of it, and can kind of use this unique leverage.
It's different, man. In today's game, everything has changed, Zach. And people aren't just playing the game for the love of the game. There has to be something more to it. They have to be able to make that money off the field. They have to be put in a situation, okay, a situation that fits their needs, that fits them. And if you are that number one pick, number two pick, you have all the leverage and the power to do something like that.
Right,
now,
right.
Him putting in and shooing in Shiloh.
Right.
Right? That's, for me, it's like he's just covering his grounds with his kids.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want to go home and hear from Shiloh saying, Dad, you're not supporting me. You're not trying to push me out there like you're pushing for Travis Hunter, who's not even your kid.
Right.
So you know there's conversations like that. But Shiloh, to me, is not a top pick.
No,
right?
No.
He has no right to say, hey, Shiloh,
no.
I'm going to pick and choose where you go.
Right.
Unless he goes undrafted.
Sure.
Then he can pick and choose where he wants to go.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like he'll be lucky at this point. Now, if he goes out there and has a phenomenal year, maybe in the fourth, fifth, third round, but he's not a top pick.
Full cosign on that last point on Shiloh. Dion says, I already have spots picked out in mind, whether it's the ones that he will go to or ones that he won't go to. Do you think the Denver Broncos, again, I don't know if this is relevant at all. I'm just asking the question. Shoot, this is so far in advance. But are the Broncos, do you believe, here in Denver, at Dion's cool table for teams that they'd be interested in playing for?
I don't see why not. I mean, Shador has already played here in Colorado for 2 years now. It's right up the street from his dad, which I think his dad's going to still be here for another year.
He will not, but go on.
So he's going to be able to see daddy every day, drive up to Boulder. So I don't see why that offer would not be on the table. It comes down to how good the Broncos do, because in Prime's eyes, Shador's going to be the first quarterback taken. And if you're the first quarterback taken, you're the first pick of the draft.
Right. Well, let's follow the story, because this now got more interesting. We know Shador is going to be a first-round draft pick if he's healthy.
Yeah.
That's Mel Kiper saying if he came out this year, he'd be a first-round pick. So what a fun angle now as the NFL season and college season plays out and the draft order gets set of, like, keeping our eye. We know there's certain teams that they don't want to play for. Really interesting. Okay, there's a fan base in Colorado that is split down the middle when it comes to their leader. Where do we fall on it? That's next. There's a fan base in Colorado that is split down the middle when it comes to their leader. We're talking Buffs. We're talking Tad Boyle.
Uh-oh, Sco Buffs.
You know, it is remarkable just how, I think it's fair to say, divided the Colorado fan base is. Yeah. And they all want success for the program, so it all comes from a good place of passion. But when it comes to Tad Boyle, how this season went, how the tournament went, what's successful, what's not, it's fascinating. And right now, if you go on some of these comment boards and social media, Phil, it divides a room right in half.
Yeah, as it should, right? You have half the room that loves Tad Boyle and loves what he does for the program, and he still brings success there. And you have the other half of the room that's like, okay, you're not giving us enough success all the time. We're ready for you to take that next jump, right? Getting into the Elite Eight, finding a way to get to the Final Four.
Sweet 16. I mean, Tad Boyle in 14 years has never gotten to the Sweet 16.
Sorry, Zach. I didn't even mean to.
I'm jumping
the gun, because truly, I was watching the game the other day versus Marquette, and I seen a team that almost upset at Marquette.
I know.
If a couple baskets would have went their way, they could have.
I know.
But then you could say it to the opposite way. If Marquette would have made a couple of their baskets, they probably would have got it out of reach. But with that being said, it looked like a team that could go to the Sweet 16, that could battle in the Elite Eight.
I know.
You know? But I see why people are kind of divided with old Tad, Roll Tad. You know, I think people are ready for something different.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. And I saw a tweet out there talking about this dynamic, and I'll paraphrase what I saw. There's two groups of Buffs fans. One who want the program to take the next step and doesn't think that Tad Boyle is capable of that. And when you look at the 14 years and you don't have a single Sweet 16, and you do have great players that have come through here, even some that went on to play in the NBA, but some just great college players. Like,
yeah,
think of like McKinley Wright and that group of guys from 3 years ago, whatever it was. They just haven't broke through. And you're about to step into the biggest boy conference that college basketball has to offer in the Big 12.
Yeah.
It's the best conference in the country. So there's two groups of Buffs fans. One who wants the program to take the next step and doesn't think Tad Boyle is the guy to do that. And the other group appreciates Tad Boyle and thinks that, and maybe I'm paraphrasing this incorrectly, but thinks that this is good for CU. He's solid. We know what the program looked like before Tad Boyle.
Yeah.
And maybe even some think the best days for Tad are ahead in the Big 12. But it is it's a divisive conversation.
Where's your side on it? When you're thinking about it, what side do you lean more towards? And don't worry, Tad's not gonna beat you up for this one. I'll make sure of it.
God almighty.
Tad, you want me to go first?
Tad did just join us last week.
He did.
And I really appreciate him for that. And their sports information department for making it happen from the NCAA tournament. That was a great conversation, very accommodating. If I had to choose, I think life is about to get really, really hard for Colorado basketball. Really hard.
Okay.
And you have a proper sample size to evaluate with Tad Boyle over the years. I mean, we're talking 14 years as the head coach at Colorado. That's a long time. And I feel like Tad Boyle was the perfect coach to hire at that time. And wow, what a run. What a run. I mean, let me give this guy his flowers. We talked about it last week. Yeah. All-time wins leader.
Yeah.
Most 20-win seasons. Now more wins in the NCAA tournament under Tad Boyle than the whole history of the program combined. But I think that life is going to get challenging. And if I had to choose here, this is about moving forward. This is not about honoring the past. You're not moving on from Tad. He's not, if he doesn't retire and he stays in, see, he's not going to move on. But I think ultimately, at the end of the day, at the very end of the day, I think to get to where that one group of fans want this program to go, I do not believe Tad Boyle is the one to do that, because I have nothing of substance to draw from over 14 years that would lead me to believe that was going to be the case. That's at the same time honoring him and what he has done, but this is about the future and pushing it forward, and a new conference that has potential. If they don't catch some green lights, this has potential to get ugly here over the next year.
Well, first it comes down to the NIL deals nowadays with these young men. It's just gotten so crazy, and it's like, is Tad up for that?
Yeah,
right. Can he get with the new times of certain things to get some more players? He did with Cody Williams, which I think Cody should stay back for another year. I know he's not going to do it, Zach. Yeah, you said right, made it clear, and it's like, why would you? But I think he would benefit staying back, kind of coming back, being a little bit older, and having his time to shine. Tad is a great coach. He has some great, has done some great things for the University of Colorado. And the grass is not always greener, Zach, when you're talking to the coach.
Yeah, no, that's
true. And if I'm willing to move on from Tad, there has to be somebody out there that I know is going to take this job. Because somebody has to be there that wants to take on the job at the University of Colorado, knowing that we're going to the Big 12.
Yeah.
And a lot of coaches may not be up for that task, knowing that we're going to have to try to find talent, and it doesn't just fall in our laps like some of these other schools and what we can do with some of the money over there as well.
Yeah.
So I think that Tad is going to stay. unless he steps down.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not saying...
No, for sure.
I don't want anything to get lost in translation. Yeah. I am not saying, like, fire Tad Boyle. No. I'm guessing about the future of the program.
No, for the future of this program is Tad's going to have another year here in the Big 12 to decide and see where he stands with what's going on there. What else can he bring to the table? Who else can he get from the transfer portal?
See, that right there, he needs to lean more into that.
He has to at this point. He has no choice. Somebody's going to have to sit him down, whether it's Rick George, the athletic director, or whoever the case may be, to let him know, hey, we are going to have to stack our team like Coach Prime is doing.
Yeah.
We're going to have to get with the new times so we can compete, or we're not going to be able to do that here in the Big 12 with just disciplined basketball and playing good defense.
Yeah.
We're going to have to go out there and get the talent that these other players, the other teams have, if we're going to be able to hang in the Big 12.
Drew Spivak, big Colorado guy here, and I know we got to keep it relatively short because we're up against it. Where are you at with Tad Boyle? Big picture, knowing what conference they're about to go to, knowing what they're about to lose, too. I mean, Tristan Da Silva is going to be gone. Cody Williams is going to be gone. Eddie Lampkin is also going to be gone, right? I mean, so... I'm curious your thought on this.
I like how Phil's over there smiling as you bring up Eddie Lampkin, because you know that's like the bane of my existence right here. But no, I'm in the camp of, listen, it has been a great run, and Tad has done great things for this program. But at some point, I want to see this program take the next step. Like, I thought Sunday's game was kind of an epitome of that program. It's like, man, they're so close to being there. They're so close to taking that next step. That was a very winnable basketball game.
Definitely.
And a chance to go to the Sweet 16 and beat a very winnable game over NC State to get to the Elite Eight. But they fell short yet again because of the lack of adjustments that Tad Boyle, you know, didn't make in that game. So it's just like, listen, at a certain point, you got to move on. You got to see what else is out there and bring in somebody else, bring in a breath of fresh air, because it's been a great run. To me, it hasn't been enough. And this season, I know it was great. They won 26 games. It still felt like a disappointment. It should have been better.
Isn't that wild, though?
Yeah.
You won the most games in program history. You lose in the round of 32, 81-77. You're a couple buckets away. And this is how crazy sports is. You win that game. You win that game on a Sunday.
Yeah.
No one's debating about how successful the season was. No one, this isn't dividing a fan base, because you just feel, everyone feels great about it. But you show up 4 points a short. You end up 4 points short. And it's literally draw a line, right? Real quick, I know we got to go. Last thing. Where do you think, if you guys had to judge really quick on what you've seen out there, Is there a side of the argument that is growing louder or over the other?
Honestly, I think it's literally split 50-50. I really do. I mean, we sit in our building here. We've got to see you guys in this building here.
Yeah.
They're in the same conversation. The James Merrillats of the world, who are on the same page as me. The Jake Shapiros of the world, they're on the same page. Like, man, Tad's as good as you're going to get. So I think it literally is split 50-50 down the middle of the entire fan base.
Yeah, see, I think it's leaning more towards Tad. I've seen where people are still willing to give that Tad Boyle another chance to see what he's going to do in the Big 12. Now, you know, that the whole question is going to be, what can you pick up? And I think the problem is, like you said, Zach, the transfer portal, he's not really big into that. And that's going to hurt him if he doesn't change his ways. Tad has to change his ways. If he changes his ways, he'll be successful.
I just don't know why we, like, kind of, like, patronize CU basketball. They're powerful. They have good facilities. What does Iowa State have in Ames that you don't have in Boulder?
Well, here's the question.
What do they have in Creighton?
We don't accept this from the football program. Why do we accept it from the basketball program?
Yeah, interesting. Interesting. And we all like Tad. Yeah. Everyone likes to hear Tad, right? Okay. All right. Wild, historical, memorable. Those are three words I would describe my experience at Ball Arena yesterday for three totally separate reasons. I want to talk about it with Philip Lindsay coming up next.
You're listening to The Drive with Zach Bye and Denver, Colorado's own Philip Lindsay on Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.
Wild, historical, and memorable. Those are three words I would describe my experience at Ball Arena yesterday for three totally separate reasons. How about the Avs yesterday, man?
Ooh.
Holy moly, Phil.
I don't think my heart could take it anymore. My heart can't take it anymore. I'm tired of them having to always come back. They're the comeback men. I don't want to call them kids. Comeback men. They're down, but they're never out.
Never. I mean, it's one thing to come back from a goal or two.
Yeah.
If you're down three goals, that's a huge deal. You're down four, that's a near impossibility. You know, they have win probabilities that kind of can flow with the game now. And I'd be willing to bet the Avalanche win probability was literally 1%. And 99% likely that the Pittsburgh Penguins were going to finish that game. In the history of the Colorado Avalanche, where they came to Colorado and I think it was 95. In the history of the Avs, they've done what they did yesterday twice and now three times. So you're talking once every 10 years, something like that happens. Like no lead is safe when you have the firepower of these guys, but it's also not just the guys that you would think of with the firepower. They are having dudes step up and down that roster. And I'm getting flashbacks of the cup season from 2 years ago.
It's fun. It's fun seeing someone like Sean Walker, right, go out there, score goals, multiple goals. He had a couple of chances, and especially in this game where it hit off the pipe and it almost went in.
Yeah.
He's like a breath of fresh air where it's like, where has this man been?
Dude, he's so good.
You know?
Perfect fit.
Casey Mittelstadt is another one that's bringing the punch, right? Skating up and down, having phenomenal passes. If he could be a little bit more aggressive when it comes to scoring, that would be great, but he's doing his thing. And then, of course, you got the superstars like always, like with Nate Dogg, McCarr, all of them doing their thing. It's like watching an unstoppable force every single night when the Colorado Avalanche are playing.
Especially at home. When they're at home, they feel like they're invincible. And you're talking about a team that's now 12-1-0 in its last 13 home games. You're talking about a team that's 19-2-0 in their last 21 games at home. Their 28 wins at home, it's the most in the NHL. And in fact, if you zoom out and look at the history of the Avs, they're tied for the second most home wins in a single season in franchise history. The only time that they won more games at home is when they won 32 games, and that was the cup season. And they can get there. I mean, they can actually get there if they keep their foot on the gas. Whether they should or not, that's a different conversation, but they're just so damn fun. And it was, you know, historic. The three words I used, wild, historical, and memorable, to describe what happened yesterday for three totally different things. It's wild because you do something that has only been done twice before, and that's come back from down four goals. It's historical because you're winning so many games at home, but also Nathan MacKinnon broke Joe Sakic's record with his 121st point on that third period goal, and then he ended up adding another assist on Druin's OT winner. So MacKinnon has passed the most productive season from an individual statistical standpoint in the history of the Avs, making what we're watching now quite literally the greatest statistical season by any individual in the history of the Colorado Avalanche.
We don't talk about Nathan MacKinnon enough, Zach. We don't. We kind of...
And we talk about him every day.
That's the issue, right? Like, we talk about him so much and we still don't talk about him enough. It's a Jokic situation.
Right, yes.
You know, it's champagne problems. Best thing to have is talk about, you know, Nate Dogg as much as we can, but still it's not enough.
Well said.
Right? What more can we do? What more can we say about him? He's phenomenal. He's going to be one of the greatest Colorado Avalanche to skate around.
Yeah.
You know, that's going to be a fact.
Yeah, he's already Mount Rushmore, but he might be number one before it's all said and done.
Ooh, I like it.
Which would seem unthinkable even just 3-4 years ago. It was so cool to see being there live, and I want to tell some of that story here in a second, but how in tune the hometown crowd was with his point streak. I mean, it was so real. The burst that he got when they announced him registering that point to keep it alive.
Yeah.
It was as loud as the goal itself that happened 2 minutes prior, which I just think is the coolest thing. This is on everyone's radar. And now you look at his home point streak. Only Wayne Gretzky has a longer, like, that's
insane.
That's Mount Rushmore of the entire history of the sport, yeah. And he's George Washington. Like, he's the GOAT. He's the great one. And McKinnon's in that sentence, and it's just so fun. And then if you don't mind, just can I talk about why it was memorable?
You need to talk about it.
So we were on the air last week, and we were going over the schedule. It was Thursday, and we were talking about just the schedule, upcoming games. We were finishing out a segment, and I said, "Oh, the Columbus on Friday night at 7." And I said, "Oh, look, it looks like there's a matinee on Sunday." I said, "That'd be a good game to bring my son to, who is 5, and I took him to his first Nuggets game earlier this year, and wanted to take him to his first Avs game." And Drew came in from behind the glass during a break and said, "Hey, there's a listener on the RamosLaw.com text line. He seems like a normal person. He's offering you his tickets for Sunday." And so we're able to look at every text you've ever sent here when you text in. So if you're a crazy person one day and you're normal the next day, I can see when you are crazy. So I went back and
looked. Be careful what you guys do.
So I went back and looked. I'm like, no, this is a real person. And his name's John Kavas, K-A-V-A-S. I hope I'm saying that name right. I've never personally met him. But he said he was going to be out of state for a high school tournament for a 17-year-old. And they weren't going to use the tickets. And instead of selling them, he wanted to give them to me and my son. So I started corresponding with the guy and ultimately got to a point like, I'm going to give him my phone number.
Yeah.
And next thing I know, the first text I get from him, "You've been sent 2 tickets to the Avs." I'm like, wow, this is so cool. It was a while after till I actually clicked on the tickets, went through the process of accepting them. Phil, they're in the first row. They're in the first row. And I made my son a sign, said my first Avs game, everything like that. We go early. We have it up against the glass.
Yeah.
Val Nichushkin sees the sign.
Oh, Val.
And comes over, and he's doing his stick work and in warm-ups, and he puts the puck on the blade of his stick, and he puts it over the glass. And my son got a puck from Val Nichushkin. It's like, there was nothing that could have happened that was going to ruin that day. From like the game was 40 minutes away or whatever it was. It was like, this. My son was so happy. And I'm going to try not to get emotional here, but the older I get, the worse it's getting, and I talk about my kids.
Hey, that's what it's for.
So we go to our seats, and Phil, not only are they in the first row, they're the seats directly next to the Penguins bench.
Mm.
So we get views of stuff that's going on with this Penguins game that you never see on TV, from guys doing snot rockets to guys watching the iPad from the shift before to players bickering. During the Avs comeback watching the anger on the face of the Penguins coach and it just up and down. I mean, watching guys do sniffing salts, it was just so crazy.
Yeah.
But my son is sitting right next to the bench, and it only happened one time during the game when Sidney Crosby came over and sat at the furthest seat to the right. So my son is sitting closer to Sidney Crosby than I am to you at this table. No joke.
And only glass, right?
Only glass is in between. And you couldn't make it up. The only time that he was sitting in that seat, because they just shuffled throughout the game, is when a puck flew up into their bench. And Sidney Crosby, it ended up in his hands. And Sidney turned over and looked at me and my son and threw it over the glass to my son. So now he's got 2 pucks, one from Val Nichushkin and one of them from Sidney effing Crosby. And I said to my son, I said, "Oh my gosh," I said, "Owen," and I'm trying so hard because I did not grow up like this. We talked about this stuff. Like, and I said, "Son," I said, "you need to look at the top of the arena." And I said, "Look at the people up there." I said, "They wish they were sitting where you are. You need to be appreciative how lucky we are sitting in these seats." And trying to get the ball rolling on being appreciative and stuff like that.
Yeah, and he's only 5.
He's only 5. So he's not going to get it.
No,
right?
No.
But just our understanding.
You're talking Japanese to him right
Yes,
now.
Yes, exactly. But one of the things I did say is that when he got that second puck, I said, "Hey, bud," I said, "no one in this arena has a puck. You now have 2 of them." I said, "If you want, you can make someone else feel real special and give him one of these pucks."
Yeah.
And he was like, "No," you just seen a look on his face like, "No, no.
No way.
No, these are my 2 pucks." And he just, and I said, "Okay." I said, I just wanted to
put it out there.
He said, "No," I said, "I wasn't going to force it. It's a big day for him." The referee came over during a timeout, and they carry a couple spare pucks on them. Uh-huh. And he tapped a puck on the glass, and he threw it over the glass to my son. This kid had three freaking pucks. Who gets
in one game?
Who gets three pucks? But at that point, I said, hey, bud. I said, do you want to make someone else feel special? He said, yes. So he got up and gave it to another kid. Which, and then the family, like, couldn't believe it. Like, you're just going to give us the puck that we just saw? Yeah. Like, so cool on so many levels. Dude, he had, you got to see this. Like, and I put this whole thing on my Instagram story, and I was able to pull my phone out in time to see just at the last second, yeah. Sidney Crosby throwing it over, Val Nichushkin handing. I have all this on film. I had this ready to record all day long. And it was just remarkable where he had players from the Penguins, like, pounding him through the glass. When I was taking a picture of him holding up his two pucks, Chris Letang, who's a legend, NHL legend. Chris Letang got drafted by the Penguins when I was in high school. I'm 38, or I'm 37. Dude, he sees me taking the picture, and he gets in behind it and, like, photobombs the picture. All-time day. It goes in our family's Hall of Fame. It just... I couldn't have asked for more.
I'm jealous listening to it.
It was, if you got to see, I have it on my Instagram story at ZBY23. You can follow Phil at ICU Boy. And then to have the comeback that happened, it was just, it was one of the best, like, dad-son days of all time. It's going in the Hall of Fame. And I'll have to explain to him how big of a deal. Boy, Sidney Crosby gave you a puck.
Mm.
Sidney Crosby? One of the 10 greatest players to ever play.
It's big, man. It's big. And usually we're giving the listeners something to talk about. In this case, a listener gave you something to talk about, man.
Yes.
All because he had a kind heart.
Yes.
And gave you that opportunity and your son that opportunity that would never come around, but maybe one time in somebody's life. You know, and that's man.
It was.
Kudos to him, man.
Yeah. John Kavis. I never met him. Just legendary generosity. And then, you know, he's generous to us. And, like, my son's able to give someone else a puck.
Yes.
It's just
it's good, how it's supposed to
good
be.
Energy. Yes, really, really cool. And just an all-time day.
See, that's why the Avs came back, because your son decided to get that third puck up. Now, if he would not have gave that third puck, we probably not winning.
You know, maybe you're right. Maybe there's some ripple in the universe. And after all that was said and done,
yeah.
We got home, and he said, "Bud, what was your favorite part of today?" And he said, "The pretzel with cheese."
I love it.